News from around the state and the world, classical, folk, and international music. You hear it all on Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's possible thanks to the support of our members. Become a WPR member with your gift at wpr.org/donate.
On the night of November 6, 2018, the crowd at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Madison is going berserk.
It's election night, or technically the morning after election night at this point. After a long night and a close race, the Associated Press has called Wisconsin's race for governor. Republican incumbent Scott Walker has been defeated by Democratic challenger Tony Evers.
Evers, the mild-mannered state school superintendent and former teacher, is yelling into the microphone.
I feel confident in saying to you right now, my name is Tony Evers, and I'm going to be the next governor of the state of Wisconsin.
This is a statewide election, so those legislative district lines we've been talking about, they don't matter here. Evers defeats Walker by a little more than a percentage point.
For Democrats, this moment has felt like a long time coming. Scott Walker had been governor for 8 eventful years, and for that entire time, Republicans had gotten their way.
Democrats think Evers' win will put a stop to that, that the pendulum of power has swung back in their direction.
And as I said throughout this campaign, it's time for a change. The voters of Wisconsin spoke. And they agree, a change is coming, Wisconsin. God bless you. Thank you all.
But that didn't last long. The day after the election, Robin Voss, the powerful Republican speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, floats an idea. Republicans, he says, might look at ways to limit the governor's powers.
And lawmakers move fast. A couple weeks later, they introduce a package of bills that would take powers away from the governor and new Democratic attorney general right before they take office.
The day the bills are formally introduced for a public hearing, Voss downplays them. He says they're not about any one person. They're about the balance of power in state government.
If you read the Constitution, the first branch that is mentioned is the legislative, because that is supposed to be the most representative of the people. We are the ones that are the closest. We are the ones that are the closest. We are the ones that have the most direct impact on people's lives.
But Voss didn't introduce these bills in the nearly 8 years that Scott Walker has been governor.
Voss's counterpart in the state Senate, Republican Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, is more blunt.
But listen, I'm concerned. I think that Governor-elect Evers is going to bring a liberal agenda to Wisconsin.
Both houses pass the bills, and Scott Walker signs them just weeks before he will leave office.
Walker doesn't have to worry about any repercussions of this lame duck session. He's on his way out.
And GOP lawmakers don't have to worry either, but for a different reason. Despite Democratic victories up and down the ballot in the 2018 election, Republicans still won big majorities in both houses of the legislature.
In Wisconsin, the political pendulum still swings, but only so far. And when one party has power locked down, there's a lot it can do.
From WPR Reports, I'm Bridget Bowden.
And I'm Sean Johnson. This is Mapped Out.
Before we go any further, we need to make an important point. A lot of the stuff people might remember from the Walker years did not happen because of the political district maps that Republicans passed in 2011. For some of that stuff, those maps didn't exist yet. Like Act 10, Scott Walker's historic changes to public sector unions.
I say workers, you say right! Workers,
right!
Workers,
right!
I say workers, you say
That is passed by the 2011 legislature, which was elected on a map drawn by a court in 2002.
And Wisconsin's voter ID law?
I think the vast majority of our citizens want to make sure that their vote is a legal vote and that all the votes out there are legal votes.
The Republicans got the majority in the state Senate, and they are going directly after the Democrat Party. That's all this is.
It is also passed in 2011. By a legislature elected under the old map. But the new map, the one Republicans drew in 2011 that largely survived scrutiny by the courts, is still extremely relevant. Because once it takes hold, everything that passes in 2011 is effectively locked in.
And it's not just the stuff that thousands of people showed up to protest. Other major decisions by that legislature in that year are locked in, too. Here's an example.
One night during budget deliberations that year, Republicans on the budget committee make a couple decisions. Money is tight, so they cut state funding from the University of Wisconsin system.
It is only a $250 million cut.
We did not.
But the cut is what it is. And
so Republicans say they don't want to cut the UW. They just have to.
But that same night, they also passed something that would cost the state money, a new tax credit for manufacturers and agricultural businesses. Republican Robin Voss is chairing the committee that night.
And here we are saying, if you're a manufacturer, come to Wisconsin. Make things here.
And Democrats like Tamara Grigsby have had it.
This is shameful. And I'm sorry, I know we're all tired of that word, but there is no other word. This is outrageous. Wow.
Democrats are frustrated, because they say this tax credit will be too expensive for the state over the long haul. Voss tells them you have to take it one budget at a time.
But in the future, when Democrats try to repeal this tax credit and boost university funding, they're never taken seriously. So the cost of the tax credit grows.
And today, according to the legislature's nonpartisan budget office, it will have cost the state roughly $2 billion since it was passed, while state funding for the university over the past decade has been roughly flat.
When one party controls every budget for 10 years, decisions like these get locked in.
So what's it like in the legislature after the new map kicks in 2012? Let's just say Republicans stay busy. When you don't have to worry about losing your majority, you can do a lot. And we don't have time to list everything, but here's some of the big stuff.
They start the 2013 session with a bill that would rewrite Wisconsin's mining laws. It would clear the way for a massive iron mine in northern Wisconsin that could be 1,000 feet deep, 3/4 of a mile wide, and eventually 22 miles long.
If there's any state that can move forward with a way to streamline the process for safe and environmentally sound mining, shouldn't it be the Badger State?
This is just a couple years after the big Capitol protests, less than a year after Scott Walker's recall win. Tensions are still high in Wisconsin, and this issue accentuates it.
The only way to fix this bill is to throw it into a trash can.
But in this legislature, the outcome is never really in doubt. It passes with only one Republican voting against it.
This is around the time when Walker introduces his budget. And like any budget, it's full of ideas. One of those ideas, expanding Milwaukee's taxpayer-funded private voucher school program to other parts of the state.
This is why we provide new choices for parents in areas where schools are failing to meet expectations.
This isn't the first voucher school expansion Republicans pass, and it won't be the last. Wisconsin's private school voucher program is now statewide.
Over time, Republicans are emboldened. After they passed the public sector union restrictions in 2011, there's speculation that they might go after private sector unions, too, with a so-called right-to-work law. And for a while, they downplay this. But after the 2014 election, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says he's thinking about it.
I mean, there's some of us that feel like since Act 10, there's some unfinished business when it comes to the unions in Wisconsin.
And remember those massive crowds that showed up in 2011? Some think that might happen again, but this time, Fitzgerald isn't worried about it.
With some of the veterans that quite honestly don't care anymore, that if the crowd show up and that if the Capitol blows up again, we just don't care. We've been through the recalls, we've been through it all. If we're gonna do it, let's do it.
And they do. Wisconsin, a state with deep union roots, passes right to work.
Session after session, Republicans pass new restrictions on abortion. They also restrict funding.
We defunded Planned Parenthood and passed pro-life legislation.
By 2015, Republicans ban abortions after 20 weeks. They also require ultrasounds for people seeking abortions.
And when you've got a majority that you know you won't lose, you can afford to think big. Like in 2017, when Scott Walker got word from the Trump administration that Taiwanese electronics manufacturer Foxconn was looking for a U.S. location to build state-of-the-art liquid crystal displays. Walker describes it as a massive manufacturing compound the size of 11 Lambeau Fields. President Donald Trump visits Wisconsin for the groundbreaking.
Congratulations on truly one of the eighth wonder. I think we can say this is, we can say, the eighth wonder of the world. This is the eighth wonder of the world.
The financial incentives offered to Foxconn are also massive, up to $3 billion in state funds. At the time, the state is offering the company up to $230,000 per job.
Republicans aren't just passing new laws during these years. In some cases, they're undoing bipartisan deals they once supported. Like the deal they cut with Democrats in late 2006 to create a new nonpartisan ethics and elections agency. Democrat Jim Doyle was governor at the time.
Under this agreement, we will create a single, strong, independent, and completely nonpartisan government accountability board.
Republican lawmakers like Scott Fitzgerald and Robin Voss vote for that deal. But almost a decade later, their circumstances have changed. After the Government Accountability Board investigates Scott Walker and his conservative allies, in 2015, GOP lawmakers disband the agency.
Today, we are beginning the process of ending the failed experiment known as the Government Accountability Board.
They replace it with two new agencies who hire directors who worked at the old Government Accountability Board. Republicans don't like this, so the state Senate fires them.
I can't have confidence in an agency that still is employing some of the individuals that were there.
So you see, Republicans are able to accomplish a lot in the years that followed the 2011 map. There's a lot you can do when your power is locked in.
And sometimes, if you don't want to, you can choose to do nothing. That's after the break.
Sometimes politics can make your head swim, so let the WPR Politics Podcast be your floaty. We'll haul you out of the deep end with all the latest in Wisconsin state politics so you can decide what's interesting and important. Join me, John K. Wilson, along with WPR Capitol reporter Laurel White and Sean Johnson, you know, the guy from this podcast, for new episodes almost every single week. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at WPR.org/politics.
Do you remember where you were on March 11th, 2020? If that date doesn't ring a bell, it's the day that the NBA postponed its season and Tom Hanks announced he had COVID-19. For a lot of people, it was when the pandemic first seemed real. Like for Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
On March 11th, seemingly overnight, daily life for Wisconsinites and the nation changed dramatically.
For a brief time, there's bipartisan cooperation in state government. Fitzgerald and Republicans are working with Democratic Governor Tony Evers on a big coronavirus bill.
Wisconsinites have endured great sacrifice, and the measures that we have taken and that the governor has taken so far are working.
At the time, this is, to put it mildly, unusual, because Republicans have been fighting with Evers since before he even took office.
This cooperation doesn't last. The day after lawmakers pass this COVID-19 bill and send it to Evers, the governor's office extends Wisconsin's stay-at-home order. And less than a week later, Republicans sue to block it.
They win. The stay-at-home order is gone. And so is the governor's power to issue another one.
For more than 8 months, the legislature doesn't meet. And to be clear, this is normally how things go in even years in Wisconsin. But this is not a typical year.
In the fall, Wisconsin is the nation's COVID hotspot. Hospitals are overwhelmed. At least one sets up overflow beds in its parking garage. There's a day in November when more than 100 people die.
Nobody wants to see this happen, but Republicans and Democrats have dramatically different views on how to address it. Democrats want to restrict crowds and require masks. Republicans don't.
When you control the legislature, you get to make these calls. It's not always doing something new. Sometimes it's about doing nothing at all. One thing Wisconsin governors definitely have the power to do is introduce a state budget. And this is significant. The budget is the biggest bill lawmakers have to pass most sessions. And in Wisconsin, this power starts and ends with the governor.
For Tony Evers in 2019, this means a chance to make good on what he promised voters when they elected him. He introduces his budget in the ornate assembly chamber.
The Honorable Tony Evers!
For Evers, it's a moment of optimism. He has a lot of ideas he wants to see happen. Here's where he lays them out.
Folks, let's get to the work. Thank you so much, and on Wisconsin.
This is where Tony Evers hands off his budget to the legislature. They have to pass it before it goes back to his desk to become law.
This gives them the chance to make some changes, to add or remove stuff. In the past, they might debate these items one by one.
But that's not how this legislature operates in 2019. When the budget comes up in committee, Republicans make a lot of changes all at once. The legislature's nonpartisan budget office reads through the cuts.
So what the motion does is it would remove from further budget consideration 131 items.
In case you didn't catch that, this will remove 131 items from the governor's budget in one fell swoop. The budget office reads through them one by one.
That transfer would be eliminated.
Would delete all of the provisions in the bill that would repeal
accreditation of private schools. Those three all would be deleted from the bill.
This goes on for 22 minutes.
Lawmakers debate the cuts for a couple hours. Then Republicans pass them. And with one vote, the budget suddenly looks a lot different than the one the governor gave them.
This repeats itself when Tony Evers introduces his next budget, only he puts more in this one. And Republicans, like new Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue, are annoyed with the governor.
You know, I sort of feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. I don't think the governor has learned his lesson at all. He's introducing exactly
Republicans remove 384 items from the governor's budget with a single vote. It's important to note that sometimes ideas don't become law because they're just not popular. So in Wisconsin, you'd never see lawmakers trying to ban beer or cheese because no one would want that.
But sometimes popular ideas, stuff people do want, don't go anywhere either. Why that is can be a little more complicated.
One person who has a really good handle on what's popular and what's not in Wisconsin is Charles Franklin. He's run the Marquette University Law School poll since 2012.
We have done 66 statewide polls in that time and have asked a bit over 1,200 different questions.
In Wisconsin, the quintessential purple state, a lot of these polls come back pretty close to 50-50. Republicans and Democrats know where they stand, and they're not budging.
Some issues do break through that divide. Sometimes this happens because societal views shift. Like gay marriage, for example. For years, the American public was against it, and then public opinion changed.
And there are signs that a similar change is happening right now with another issue.
I would say the marijuana issue is one in national polling that we've seen substantial evolution from majority opposition to substantial majority support over recent years, let's call it the last 15 years or so.
Lawmakers in other states have taken notice. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 18 states now allow recreational marijuana. They include Wisconsin's neighbors, Illinois and Michigan.
In Wisconsin, about 59% of voters supported legal marijuana in an April 2019 poll.
But when you add medical marijuana to it, then you start to get these true supermajorities of 80% or more in favor.
83% supported medical marijuana in that same poll. That included strong majorities of voters from both parties.
One of the people who has supported this for years is Madison resident Gary Stork. He uses marijuana to treat his glaucoma.
It can just be excruciating at times to where, you know, you just want to put a bullet in your head because it's like an ice pick in my eye and stuff like that. Cannabis really helps with that.
Stork has been pushing to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin for decades. He felt like they were on the verge of passing it in 2009 during the last session when Democrats were in control.
Lawmakers have talked about it since then, including some Republican lawmakers. But the issue goes nowhere, and Stork has basically stopped trying.
No, in fact, I've been more and more discouraged every session to the point where I really don't even actively go to the Capitol anymore. And I used to lead groups up there lobbying all the time, but I don't see any point.
Stork has a theory on why it never goes anywhere. He thinks it's the map. Republicans don't have to listen to people like him because their majority is always safe.
Charles Franklin, the pollster, says there are only a few issues that poll as high as medical marijuana. For example, 80% of Wisconsin voters support background checks for private gun sales, with majorities across the partisan divide.
One of the other issues that polls really high?
Solid majorities favored a nonpartisan redistricting commission.
That's right. Marquette polled on redistricting, and specifically whether people would like to take redistricting out of the legislature's hands, to have a nonpartisan commission draw the maps.
And 70% of Wisconsin voters wanted this, including majorities of Republican voters, Democratic voters, and independent voters.
But this is an issue where the details definitely matter, because to make this happen, the legislature would have to give up its own power to do redistricting. Franklin says that's not likely to happen.
So this is a case where the self-interest of the legislature flies in the face of whatever public opinion might be. And it's just incredibly rare in the country to have found a legislature willing to divest itself of that power.
That's not to say that people don't try. There is a long-shot effort in Wisconsin to switch to a nonpartisan redistricting commission.
And the governor set up his own commission to draw what he calls the people's maps.
There are also redistricting lawsuits pending in state and federal court.
But the legislature has made clear it has no intention to give up this power. It plans to draw the maps.
Remember, redistricting is happening right now. How it could all play out on the next episode of Mapped Out. Mapped Out is reported by Sean Johnson
and Bridget Bowden. We're produced by Brad Kohlberg, edited by Noah Ovshinsky. Music by Carl Christensen. Additional support from Adam Friedrich.
Digital editing by John K. Wilson, and digital direction by David Hyland.
Photography by Angela Major, artwork by John Nichols.
You can see more at wpr.org/mappedout.